You know, when Pastor Bray shared the children's message, it led me back to a childhood memory when my older sister invited me to play a game of hide-and-seek with her. And I was convinced I had found the best place that I'd ever found in my entire life of the game hide-and-seek. I went into our game room, went into the closet where we had all these quilts and afghans, and I got on the bottom, covered myself with them to the point of sweating pretty profusely. And I had one of those neat watches. You can hit the light and see the time in the, you know, on the watch, even in the darkness, and realize, man, I've made it to 20 minutes, and I've still not been found. I've not even heard her come near this door. About 25 minutes, when I was dehydrated to the point of almost death, I decided to come out, made my way to the living room, and there my sister was watching MTV, and I believe had been watching it for 25 minutes and never came to look for me. So those of you with older siblings, beware, beware. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment of our time together where you visit your people whom you love, where you speak your truth to us, where you give us the assurances of the hope that we have in you, and you cast even your light into our darkness, not that we might be shamed, but that we might turn to you in repentance and receive the light of your forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we focus on Psalm 139 today, verses 1 through 10 and verse 14, it's important for you and I to know right off the bat one of the things that this psalm makes very clear to you and I, and that is this, is there is no privacy with the Lord. Zero, zilch, nada, none. There is no privacy with the Lord in your relationship with Him. Where your feet take you, He sees. What your eyes look at, and the reason you're looking where you look, He knows. What your hand touches or avoids touching, He knows. What goes on in your heart, in your thoughts, in your emotions, even if they're not externalized, He knows. And as Americans who value individual privacy and family privacy, this can be unsettling to many people. But the psalmist tells us the depths at which we are known by Him is even beyond our ability to comprehend. And we might even say it's also far beyond what we are comfortable with. To be known by someone else in this world is one thing, but to be known by God as Creator and Redeemer is wholly other. Every one of us, to some extent, enjoys having certain levels of control as it relates to how others see us, how others think about us, how others talk about us, how others perceive us. And we go to great lengths to establish borders and walls in our lives so that people might only get a glimpse of us, and the glimpse that they get is exactly the side we want them to see. We go to great extents going through our photo album on the phone to make sure that exactly the right picture is posted to social media. To give the impression, if you ever took a picture of me, there's not a bad one you'd have. We go to great, great lengths to veil certain facts about us so that those facts may not become public, may not be known by others. Now, make no mistake about it, those are still true about you. But you work hard in the privacy department to make sure no one else can get hold of these facts and it change their opinion and thoughts of you. There is a true fear in all of us to be known fully by others, largely because there is a lack of trust. And this privacy, right, is not the privacy we're talking about as it relates to social security numbers, routing numbers, and credit card numbers. No, this is a privacy we covet and want so that we might control the narrative in this life as it relates to how people see us and how they judge us. But David tells us in this psalm that, guess what? Between you and the Lord, there is absolutely no privacy, only intimacy. And furthermore, he tells us these things about God and us. He knows when you sleep. He knows the moment you wake up. He knows your thoughts even before those thoughts form words on your mouth and you speak them with your mouth. He knows the words you will choose to articulate whatever it is you're going to say before you even make the decision to choose those words yourself. He goes where you go, where you are, there he is also. But David also tells us this. He says, his hand is always upon us. His hand is always upon us. And he finishes by telling us, for two purposes, that with one hand he might lead you, and with the other hand he might hold you. What is it like to live in a relationship with God and to be known at the depth that we are known? Well, we know this, is that with that leading hand, he leads us into paths of righteousness. With that leading hand, he grabs us and takes us off the wrong paths of life, that he may reestablish us on the right way to live, to move, and to have our being. And with that hand, he leads us out of the shame and darkness that our own sin may cast upon us, so that we may be led out of darkness to the hand that holds us with his mercy, grace, and forgiveness. We might prefer to try to hide. We know that didn't work well with Adam and Eve, did it? After they transgressed God's word, they try to hide, and God comes to them in the garden. You cannot hide from your Maker. You might not like that, but it's just the fact and it's just the reality of who you are and who He is. He's the Creator, and you, brothers and sisters, are the creature. But here's the difference of what it means to be known by God. And it's really simply this. As intimately as he knows you, more than you even know yourself, he never has this knowledge to move against you, but to always be for you. See, in the 90s, when I was first in the Army, all of our duffel bags were stamped and imprinted with our Social Security numbers. Those bags went publicly on planes, on ships, on buses, on cars, were on certificates if you got an award. And if you were asked who you were numerically in the military, you shouted at the top of your lungs your Social Security number. In the gas chamber, to make you breathe and talk, you had to shout your Social Security number. And you know why no one ever had a problem with it? Because no one harmed you or injured you or hurt you with that information. They knew it, but didn't hurt you. Now, of course, I'd like to think 10 years later, I know that's not true, some 10 years later, right, we have ID numbers and Social Security numbers are never made public. Why? Because now people hurt you when they know this level of detail about you. That kind of thing is the exact opposite of how God works in you with what He knows about you. He will always be for you. And when He convicts you, even of transgression and sin, He doesn't do it so that He might leave you in this cell of guilt and shame. He only does it so that He might lead you back and bring forgiveness to you and to restore you and reconcile you with Himself. With a God like that, brothers and sisters, there is no need to hide. There's no benefit in not opening yourself up in the confession of sins. What you've been successful at hiding from others, there is no need to hide from the one who knows the number of hairs on your head and formed you in your mother's womb. He knows you that He might love you. And He loves you with a love that always transforms you. On Sanctity of Life Sunday, we don't only celebrate that God is our Maker and breathes that breath of life into us, but even more than that, we celebrate the joy of what it means to be known by this God, to be saved by this God, to know that there is a joy for a baby in a womb that soon they will be born, soon they will be baptized, soon they will be known fully by God, and they will know that God is the one for them. Not ever is He against them. To be known, brothers and sisters, is to have a God that moves in your life in a moment when you realize that you need to hear something more than anything else at that very specific moment in your life, and the words are, your sins are forgiven. You know God knows you when He intercedes in your life and He speaks through your heart and your mind and your conscience, and He says to you, Tim, not this way, but this way. Why? Because this way is better for you. This way prevents you from injuring, hurting, and harming yourself and others as you break my law. So go this way. I'll even light up the path for you. To be known by God in this way is to have moments, very specific and exact moments, where you kneel and you open up your mouth to receive life and salvation, that you might be assured from your Maker and your Redeemer that you are and remain His child. Brothers and sisters, if there is anything we can take as a point of application from this incredible way of being known by our Lord, is to be the kind of people who aren't afraid to be known in front of us. To be the kind of people who love someone when they come with the courage to admit where they've failed, fallen, sinned, transgressed. To turn them to the one who comes not to hurt, but to heal. The one who comes not to destroy, but to rebuild. The one who comes not to condemn, but to reconcile. The one who tells us through his prophet, St. Paul, for you and for me, I know you in such a way that no one else knows you. I know everything about you, and what I have to say for you is there is no condemnation for you because of me. Brothers, let us, and sisters, let us rejoice that to be known in this way is to be saved. It is to know that the best for us is yet to come. And that this one who knows us still wants to spend eternity with us. To be known by him and to say to us in the scriptures revealed, nothing will separate you from my love for you. Oh, to be known and loved like this. And make no mistake, you are. Let's pray. Oh, before that, let me pitch this. Gracious Lord, in some aspects of our life, it is frightening to think that you know our thoughts. You know why we gaze in the direction we gaze. You know what we think when we look at this or that. You know where our steps hope to lead us and take us. But Lord, it's so nice to know that we don't have to put up facades. We don't have to build walls and barriers. We don't have to disguise ourselves. Because you are the God who makes the unclean clean, the unrighteous righteous, the shamed proud to be called your son or daughter. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.